Gracious Lord, you know, as we come to this weekend and we come to this time where for many people in this world, in this nation, people have been spending time thinking through the last week that you spent preparing yourself for taking your place on the cross. And Father, that the story doesn't end with death like it does with us. But yet, Lord, the story continued. And because it continued, our story continues too. And so, Father, I thank you for loving us and showing that love and using this place here on earth to be a beacon of what the love of Jesus Christ really is all about. So that the whole world and universe sees the price of sin, but the joy of your amazing grace. And so, Father, here we are, thanking you for what you have prepared for us, thanking you, Lord, for how you have touched us, and Lord, coming to you as we have seen and as we have heard, the sacrifices that you gave so that we could give our sin, so that we could be free from not only its penalty, but the weight that it puts on our hearts. And so, Lord God, we ask for your forgiveness, for the ways that we pushed aside your promises. But Father, we want to take hold of you in all capacity in letting you change us and build us and to grow us, and to help us, Lord, to teach and to share with others the joy of what it means to have Jesus as a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Psalms 22. Now, for some of those that might be a little wondering, you know, they said I had an hour to preach. Is that... No, just kidding. All right, I got a few faces. Psalms 22. The word has already been preached and started when we first started this morning. Amen? Well, we're just going to add to that blessing as we turn to what book again? Psalms. Woo! I just see how everybody was with that time. That's great. Psalms 22, starting with verse 1. In Psalms 22, starting with verse 1, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. You know, when we're crying out, we're not too silent about our crying out, are we? As we relate to this and this being shared, you know, we aren't quiet about our suffering. But even Jesus Christ himself was not quiet, because of the weight of everything that was upon him at the moment. And as we continue to read, but you are holy, verse 3, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, and they trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Amen. You know, as we're just getting into this text and its connections to even what was going on at the cross and what was going on with our Savior, you know, we're seeing this contrast of despair. And do we have that? You know, we get those moments and those things that happen in our lives that drag us down, that build despair, that pull us away from the assurance of the truth. And yet Jesus is saying and sharing with us, as David is writing this and bringing the connection, that with the despair we can still do something. And though all of that is there and we feel the weight of it, why have you forsaken me? We even cry out to God saying that. But yet, what does the text contrast with? As much as he says that in verse 1 and 2, but then as we go into 4 and 5, what does he say? Read it there. He trusted, right? He trusted. Even when things seem unsurmountable, even when the despair is so much, and man, to think about what Jesus Christ went through on that cross. I mean, we're not talking little pin needles here. We're talking like, you know, those tire or train pegs that they put in. I mean, you're talking thick nails. that went into his hands on that cross. And in his ankles there to hold his feet in place. That was just that, and that alone, most of us would be a lot more than crying out. But then all the beating that he took part in. And how they were systematic. You know, the Romans did not want to just make it, you know, like, okay, we're just going to give you a punishment. They wanted it so that everyone knew that without a doubt, people would remember what happened. So that every time they think about maybe taking a cookie from mama's table, they would think twice about it. Because they didn't want to go through the shame. And so they were systematic. One Roman soldier on one side, one on the other with the whip. And as one would hit one side, the other soldier would come alongside and whip. And they just keep doing that, working in a systematic way, right down the back. All the way down from the neck, basically from the neckline, all the way down to his waist. And if he thought that wasn't enough, they continue on in all of it. And yet, when we think about that, we've seen the stories, we've seen the portrayals of these things, but to just close the eyes and to picture all that Jesus Christ was going through. How cruel we were to a Savior. But yet, you know, we think that's so there. That's over there. That's across the street. But yet, what do I do each and every day that does the same thing? By either rejecting Him, by either focusing and wallowing in the despair more than in the trust. Because even with all of that, did Jesus Christ not trust? But in our human nature, it's not easy, is it? Even the disciples walking with Jesus for how long? Only a few weeks, right? 3 years, right? And yet, did they have trust issues? So don't get me wrong, we're human and we all got trust issues. But when it comes to our Savior, let's trust. Let's trust in Him. Continuing on, as we read here in verse 5, and continuing on with verse 5, and they cried out and were delivered and trusted in You and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised by the people. Again, talking about the extent of His lowliness and how insignificant He was. And yet for the people, that's very true. All those who see Me ridicule Me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, He trusted in the Lord. Let Him rescue him. And did not the Scripture and even the songs we were singing talk about that? Why don't you ask your angels to free you? Why don't you ask your God to free you from all of this? Let Him deliver him, since He delights in him, as He says there in verse 8. But You are He who took Me out of the womb, and You made Me trust while on My mother's breast. I was cast upon You from birth. From My mother's womb, You have been My God. Be not far from Me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Even in that, where does He go to? He trusts in the Father and says, draw near. You know, as we look and think about our own lives and thinking about the ways that we draw near to God when troubles and things come up in our lives, how near do we draw near to Jesus Christ? You know, do we say, okay, I'm going to give You that 2 seconds to have that prayer? And then we wonder why we don't have peace in the situation. We wonder why things aren't happening. But drawing near doesn't mean that Mr. Fix-It is going to take care of the situation right then and there. It means drawing near to Him so that we trust in Him. Amen? Amen. Drawing in near to Him so that when we feel despair, we feel the weight of things and we're not drawing close to God, we're continuing to trust in the assurance of the Word of God and letting it, as we spend time in the Word and with the Holy Spirit leading us, that it draws us to the Savior. Amen? And with that drawing us closer and closer and closer, it reminds us of the assurance that we have in what Jesus Christ has done. And so, as we continue on, many bulls in verse 12 have surrounded Me. And often bulls representing can represent priests because of the priestly role. They would only sacrifice bulls. And so representing their representation there. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled Me. They gape at Me with their mouth like a raging and roaring lion. And when we think of the scenes of what was taking place there, that's exactly what all these Sanhedrins and those were coming along saying these very things, like raging and roaring lions. And I'm poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that has melted within me. Can you feel this? Can you connect with this? Melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws and have brought me to the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. You know, dogs, when we think of that, you know, Gentiles were considered the dogs. So the Romans and anybody other than a Jew was considered a dog in that sense. And it says, even the dogs have surrounded me, and the congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. Can you count all your bones? And I'm not saying having the science. I know some of you doctors out there, you could probably go through all the bones and count them all out and map them all out. But have you been in such pain that you could literally count every single spot of pain that you have? And I don't know if we could really do that. I don't know if we have the capacity to be able to do that. But I know we've been in pain. I know we've been in a lot of physical pain at times, and some of us in our lives. And you can just, but to be able to feel all of that pain. Pierced my hands and my feet, and I count all my bones. They looked and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, where's the Lord? Verse 19. What's it say there? Not far. O my strength, hasten to help me. Whose strength? You see what he's saying? See, you're my strength. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. God was, as we look at this, and even in his trust, we think of another passage where God has called us that what Jesus Christ would do would bring us one with him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And bringing together what Jesus Christ was going through, but why? Why would he go through all of that? Because when we think about it, would we, for even our neighbor, let alone the Savior of the world, would we? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him. Why did he do what he did? Why did he go through all of that torment? And not just the physical, but we're talking about the mental. We don't often talk about some of the mental things going on. And there's not lots of scripture that give a lot of descriptions about that. But as even reading in Psalms 22, you can see the struggle emotionally that Jesus Christ was going through. And yet why? So that we can be reconciled with our Savior, with the Father. So that we can be reconciled with each other. Because if God can bring us in union with Him to help us break the chains of sin, why can't we break the chains that separate us? I mean, if He can do that, I can't break a sin of death or break the penalty and what sin leads to. I can't break that kind of chain. Jesus Christ did. But if He can break that, can He not break some of the things that go on among our, I don't know, we call it stuff? Jesus died so we could be brought together in unity with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and brought into unity with each other. And we are the ambassadors of that unity. Amen? We are the ambassadors to the unity that we all know we should have and should automatically have as an understanding within our faith because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? But we got to bring the world as a whole into that saving grace. bring that world to say, you are part of this unity. You are part of this family. We are missing something because you are not here. Oh yeah, it sounds good up here in the pulpit here, right? That sounds all wonderful. But Jesus wasn't sharing all that from a pulpit. He was sharing it right down in the trenches alongside each other. And even took it as far to go, you know what? To make sure that there's this unity and there's this power, I'll even go to the cross. Would we go that far to reconcile with one another? I pray God transforms us. What did Jesus accomplish on the cross? He accomplished many things on the cross. So many things. The fulfillment of God's promises, as we see in Isaiah chapter 9, that talks about a Savior. For unto us a child is born. We usually talk about this a different time of year, but even in this text in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, it gives us a reminder of what Jesus Christ had done. Unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Praise the Lord. I want that kind of government. I want that kind of unity among us all. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen? It doesn't say, oh, you know, it's the zeal of the Lord will perform this. Now, if the zeal of the Lord goes forth with that, what's the zeal in our own hearts? Is it zeal? Or is it a Ziploc bag that has just kind of zipped up anything, and we're waiting for the moment to unzip the zeal that we've kind of put into a little container that we just don't want to unleash because we think once we unleash it, we can never get it back. And I know it's play on words and the idea of a Ziploc bag, but what do we do with the zeal of Jesus Christ? Do we let our pride be the one that zips it shut? Do we let our other issues and things that we don't want to let go zip that zeal of Jesus Christ in our hearts? Do we let it seal it? And think that there's no way that could ever be open because Jesus Christ died on the cross so that it could be open. So that we could share the joy. We had young people up here today. And I don't believe for a second that their Ziploc bag was sealed up this morning. Oh, we have fear. I know, ladies. I know. A little nervousness. But you guys sang beautifully. And no one would. Did you even know that some of them were pretty nervous? See, they don't know. I'm not going to name you who you are. But I know some of them were nervous. But you know what? We just say, you know what? Okay, I'm nervous. But you know what? They come together as a family. They pray. They talk with each other. They encourage one another. You don't know that, but I was seeing that all the whole time. But that's what it is with a family. We come together because Jesus Christ, when He pulls us together, we're there for one another. And when we're there for one another, we have a way of encouraging one another. It's a marvelous idea. And when that begins to happen, the seal that once was there, it is not because of what we're doing, but it's because of what we're letting Jesus do within us. He begins to break the chains and breaks the bond of that Ziploc. And then what happens is the zeal of the Lord just shines forth. Praise the Lord. You know, my prayer for me is that within my own heart, I would not let the things that happen around me Ziploc the zeal of Jesus. Because it's easy. We're human. It's easy to let things start to seal that up, whether it's our own stuff or stuff that's happening outside of us. But Jesus says and reminds us, even with all His despair, where did He go? He went to the Father. So where should we go? To the Savior. See, we're reminded with all that He done on the cross, we're reminded of not only the price that He paid, but the freedom that comes when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so yes, the fulfillment of God's promises we see without question, but it's also the end of the reign of law of sin and death. Yet, you know, Satan, when he is looked at, and he is that roaring lion, right? As we've seen and we read in Peter, he talks about this roaring lion that's out to devour us. But we forget that on the cross, guess who was de-toothed and de-clawed? But do we believe that Satan was de-toothed and de-clawed? Do we believe that Satan had truly overcome the deceiver? Because we've got to believe it. Because otherwise, if we don't believe that Jesus Christ de-toothed and de-clawed Satan, then what happens is the power to open up that Ziploc bag You'll be wondering why you can never get it open. Because it's not you who can open, it's only Jesus. And no matter what Satan tries to throw at you, you can't overcome it, but Jesus Christ can. Are we okay with that? Jesus Christ can do that. Amen? Jesus Christ can do that. Is that okay? Amen. I want you to say that with convictions, my friend. Oh, death, where is your sting in 1 Corinthians 15? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, amen, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's okay to say amen. Jesus also gave us the redemption of the world, and that He even shared, and we can talk about many texts, where I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We invite Him into our hearts, and in that life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God. I trust in Him, not in my flesh, not in what I can do, but what Jesus Christ can do. And it says, the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, and according to the law, almost all things were purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so because of Christ's blood being shed for me, we can have true forgiveness. We can even have the heart of forgiveness. Because there has been wrongs that happened to Jesus, there have been wrongs that have happened to us outside our control, but even we can be ones to forgive. Jesus Christ took on the things that we were weighted down with to, on our behalf, to seek forgiveness for us. And yet, can we do the same thing for one another? So many things that the cross and this whole weekend brings out in reminding us of the fulfillment of what God has done. Yes, the redemption, but also of God's perfect law. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness is everyone who believes. And it's Christ's holiness. We see the revelation to the universe of Satan's true character being revealed on the cross as all got to see the full scope of where sin leads. There we see the representation of the perfect humanity before heaven as Jesus is the man who presents us as perfect, and the beginning of even life eternal as Jesus shares with us, and the ultimate demonstration of the love of God for mankind. And so here we have our Savior. Here we have Him focused on giving up His life. You know, sometimes we think of that Jesus, when He died on the cross, He died because of all the weight of the sin. In no way did that we're not going to discount the weight of all that. But remember, as we had shared and talked about in the text earlier, was that when we look there in Matthew, it says that He commended His spirit, or He gave, you know, He had declared or gave His spirit. He made the decision. He made the choice to give up His life. He didn't just die because of all the physical things going on. He died because He gave His spirit back to God. Amen. Are we willing to give it all to Jesus? Are we willing to die to Jesus? So that we can, as on that resurrection morning when Mary went there before sunrise and others followed, you know, there were slow pokes. Not everybody believes and goes, oh, wait a minute here. And sometimes we're not sure if we can be transformed and renewed. But my friends, when we trust in what Jesus Christ has done, then when that morning comes, which it will come, what are we going to walk with? How are we going to walk when we go to our own figurative tombs? Whatever's been a crutch and stuff, and when we go there, what are we going to be looking for the renewness and the newness and the freshness of Jesus Christ being rose again? Or are we going to look with despair going, oh man, I got to clean this cave again. It's got all dirty again. Man, I got to do laundry. And Jesus was good, he even folded His laundry. But are we going to go to that tomb? And as the angel said, fear not. You know what the angel was doing was reminding Mary and them that you have nothing to fear because Jesus had already told you that this would happen. So go with assurance. And so what it happens at the beginning of Matthew 28, as it talks about this, at the end of that section there, it actually says they go now not fearing, but they go with the fear in the reverence or in the respect and in the awe of God and with joy. So my prayer for all of us here today is that maybe we have walked in with the fear of just not knowing, the fear of not having the assurance in Jesus Christ, the fear of anxiety, whatever it is that we've been holding on to, but at this point in time, give it to Jesus. He went to the cross so you could be freed from that. Give it to Him because He doesn't want you to carry the burden. Amen? Trust in Him. Give it to Him so He can do work that you can't do. And when you give it to Him, walk with a newness. Read it there yourselves, Matthew 28 and 6 and onward. But walk with a newness, with a new fear of trusting in God and a joy knowing that God has it. And more importantly, has you in His hands. Let's remember that Jesus Christ has us in His hands. Amen.
Now, after the wonderful messages that we have heard, we must go and serve the risen Savior. He's living in our hearts.
Amen.
Today. The hymn number 251, He Lives.
Stand for our closing hymn.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. Talks with me a long time far away. He lives, salvation to report. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around, I see His loving care, and though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy past. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus. Long and narrow way, He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how.
Amen. He lives, He lives, He lives within my heart. You know, as I shared the message this morning, and opening up, you know, that some of us think, well, what do I do now? You know, do I just got to pray about it more?